Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
My dog is choosing to bark now. All right, so we are live. Thanks, guys. Sorry this took so long. Welcome to the Fireside Chat on Honey Badger Radio. I have a very special guest, Owen Benjamin. He is a stand-up comedian. Is that, you'd say, you still do that, right? Stand-up comedian?
Yeah, stuff? Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and continue to call myself that.
it's good. And the reason why I got you on was basically because of, I've been watching your career. Just like I was a person that would watch your comedy before, and then when I saw what was going on, like when you started to kind of like, you know, become a little bit more vocal about shit that was happening, I wanted to talk to you about it a bit and just sort of like, you know, just have a little convo. I know that you don't have a whole lot of time and that you have to do another stream. But I thought it'd
I'm
be
here
cool
for you,
if
man.
We could talk.
Let's talk.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you. So we are Honey Badger Radio. Do you know anything about us at all? Probably not.
Just really just that you're a good dude and you struggle with Skype.
I do struggle with Skype. That's the reason why, by the way, guys, you're probably noticing that there isn't any video feed. Skype and OBS are hating each other right now. And also Owen's camera is really dark right now, and it makes him look like he's like this sketchy dude in an alley. And I don't think you guys want that. It's kind of
I am
a
sketchy
scary.
Dude in the alley right now, though. I'm just trying to be very literal.
Okay. Some people are already in the chat saying where the bears at. So there are some. I know you guys. You got your people. You call them the bears. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully you're a honey badger bear. I mean, I don't speak to non-bears, so let's just hope that you are a honey badger bear.
I am.
But, yeah, no, I got my people. I think that when you're vocal about what's really happening, and my motto is always, I might be wrong, but I'm not lying, it attracts a good group of people that are loyal and that understand what it takes these days to actually just be a fan of comedy, let alone mm-hmm. just be a normal person in society. It requires a little bit of effort. So, you know, that's just kind of what we're all about.
Yeah. I also noticed you did a show, one of your live streams a little while ago. And you were basically saying, you know, I just want to tell jokes. I just want to do jokes. I just want to make people laugh, you know? And you guys were just you know, you're asking your people, your bears, to just send you some just jokes, some funny stuff. And it got me thinking, like, some of the stuff was really good. Like, you have some really funny people. We have some really funny people, too, here at HBR. And it got me thinking, you know, I started looking up old comedians, like Rodney Dangerfield videos. And one of my favorites, I love this guy. And he had a unique thing going on. Stephen Wright. You know Stephen Wright?
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? He's one of the greatest.
Yeah, he's amazing. Yeah, it's like, could deliver one line and get people, like, just, you know, just rolling. So, I really appreciate
Stephen
that.
Wright. Yeah, Stephen Wright was Mitch Hedberg's kind of mentor in that style of just that deadpan one-liner delivery where he almost reveled in the audience being uncomfortable at first and having that low energy where the audience has to become a more active participant and almost lean forward to listen to the joke. And then once they have you, it's just never ending knockout punches. And, you know, that's something I also like to talk about. I'm glad you're talking about some of the greats is because I'm above all, I'm a fan of comedy and I really enjoy just discussing comedy.
No, I think that, you know, you are a really passionate dude, and I am too. I'm an artist, an illustrator, and I had a run-in
That's
with
awesome.
Well, thank you. I had a run-in with Social Justice Warriors when I was trying to make a... I was working on a comic book. It was like a lifelong dream, but I wanted to tell something autobiographical about my love life and just talking about love in general from a male perspective. And they got... I got so much shit in my college from professors and students and staff because I wasn't doing it inclusively enough, because I wasn't, you know, talking about... people of different genders or people of different sexualities. And I was like, yeah, but I'm talking about my experience. I can't pretend to be something that I'm not for the sake of inclusivity. And so that was when it sort of like got me really thinking, like, what the hell is going on? Why is...
Well, here's the contradiction. You're not allowed to talk about others' experiences, but yet you have to at the same time. And yeah, that's when I knew it was all bullshit, where it's like they're telling you that you can't write your experience. You have to write in, you know, trans left-handed leprechauns to be inclusive. But yet you're also, that's called mansplaining, and you don't know what it's like to be another group. Like, you know, I, as a bear, I'm allowed to write about what honey badgers go through.
Yeah. Well, we all have to share the same honey. Technically, though, the...
Yeah, we are going after the same honey, but we can be friends. We can be allies in this animal world.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Technically, the honey badgers here are the women. This is basically, we're a men's group, a men's, you know, I guess the word that people know the most is MRA, which is Men's Rights Advocate, but it's...
I like really, those guys.
Yeah, that's what we are, basically. But it's really like, it's not even about rights that much, because there are some rights, you know, like bodily autonomy and things like this. But most of it is about just to having the discussion around men culturally. We think that it's, they're just, they're a group that is in definite need of attention from the boys on up. And when you spoke out about, you know, essentially people wanting to give kids hormone blockers, you know, to like transition, that was the thing that got you in trouble, right? With your peers. Is that right?
Dude, my agent at CIA, said he couldn't rep me. My manager at Principato Young, which is one of the biggest in LA, said he couldn't rep me. Within 6 months, my deal with Norton Publishing for $60,000 was gone. My college touring career was gone, and it was all, and I also had a deal with True TV that went nowhere. So when people say, that's why this Colin Kaepernick thing pisses me off, because it's like, he was a backup quarterback who didn't really have much to lose and only a lot to gain. And so when people kind of take that actual, like, people that do have something to lose, and they do lose because they stand up for something. Like, mm-hmm. like honestly, like me, like I really did lose a lot. Like Colin Kaepernick only got fame and money and attention and invites to Oprah's, you know, cocktail parties. Like I got exiled from a thriving career and a thriving social group because I stood up for boys to say there's nothing wrong with being a boy. I was a boy who played piano. Like, would I have been put on hormone blockers if I had a psychotic leftist parent? And it's like that alone. And then the fact that alone just sent me on this path where it's like, I just wanted to do jokes about men and women being different, and the SJWs wouldn't allow that. So I'm just going to take down leftism. And then hopefully by 2030, after I've turned it all to ash, yeah, I will just go back to how men and women are different with one-liners.
That sounds like the dream. You know, let us go down that path together. So yeah. So technically, I'm actually a dog, not a honey badger. I just work for them. So I'm the guy that runs everything, but I'm known as the dog here. So, but yeah. Awesome. So here's the thing about trans kids. You know, did you know that 70% of people who transition at all, like I'm talking about adults that consent to it, 70% of all trans people are male to female trans people, and that female to male trans people are actually like the smaller, much smaller percentage, like 30%.
Yeah, that was my piano teacher was a female to male when I was 11.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, I had a classmate that was. I didn't know until they told me. Like, the female to male transitions are pretty freaking good. But it's an interesting thing to me because I think that this stuff that's happening that you're talking about, that you're speaking out about people who are trying to transition boys, and not only the parents are doing it or, like, schools are encouraging it, but it's, like, being celebrated and sort of like, you know, fetishized almost. Like, you've seen, you know, the drag boy, I forget his name, but he's like been making him the center of all attention for a while. He's like this young drag queen.
David Hogg?
No, the other one.
Dude, I like you, man. You got a good sense of humor. This is fun.
Well, thank you. I was going to say about Colin Kaepernick, if you're a backup of a backup of a backup of a quarterback, does that make you a Nickelback?
That's hilarious. That's a good joke.
Thanks. Anyway, and guys, I didn't get a chance. I put all of the stuff is in the low bar where you can find Owen, which there aren't a whole lot of places left. But you have a YouTube channel.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
You have a YouTube channel, and you have your website, hugepianist.com. Is there any other places I didn't, like, mention? Because I was like, okay, he's not on Twitter anymore. He's not on, I don't know if you're on Facebook still.
I got kicked off Facebook.
Yeah, so he's just gone.
Well, I mean, YouTube is, I just crossed 150,000 subscribers, and that's going strong. And how many,
yeah.
That's why I always tell people to hit the like button, because I know some people on the inside of YouTube, and the algorithms, when you get a certain proportion of thumbs ups, it's a lot harder to flag and to ban. So my popularity on YouTube is actually protecting me in a lot of ways. So that's going strong. And then Instagram at Owen Benjam. I just treat it like Twitter at this point.
Yeah.
And I just treat it like the whore that it is. But which is kind of weird because people aren't used to like 10 posts a day on Instagram. But I keep getting posts taken down, but they haven't started a campaign yet to get me kicked off Instagram because I don't think the rules are in place yet. But And I'm on tour right now, so you can see me in the flesh in Texas and in Florida and in Georgia in September at hugepianist.com.
Oh, that'd be – are you – I'm in Chicago. Are you ever going to come?
I love Chicago, dude.
Yeah.
That's the thing about all this. I've headlined the Chicago Improv in Schaumburg. 6 times. So I've done that 36 times, 36 shows in that 500 seater. But yet after all this controversy, I've never been invited back. And it's quite a shame, but I was there 6 months ago and I had a great time. I had a bunch of shows in Chicago and I really love that place. I mean, it's run like shit, you know, it's
yeah,
kind of like Canada or England, like really good people, but the city itself is shit, but the people, I mean, some of my favorite people live in Chicago.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. I'm always defending Chicago because it gets such a bad rap, but I can't defend the government, you know, like the way that it's run. It's absolutely shit. The corruption is just like crazy here, right? But the people,
crazy.
The city, it's great. Like I love this city and I grew up here. I'm from I'm first generation Puerto Rican, so like my family is from PR. I was the first generation of my family born here. Also the first person in my family to get his college degree because, again, we were really poor and, you know, didn't get a lot of education. And I have Chicago, really, to thank for it, like, to put me where I am now. And
yeah, man, Puerto Ricans are scrappers. One of my buddies, Luis J. Gomez, who runs Gas Digital, he was like a foster kid, and now he owns his own podcast studio with Dave Smith and all these guys. It's you know, I think it was a little cocky for you guys to name it Rich Port, Puerto Rico.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
After certain hurricanes, that's a little ironic. But other than that, you know, great group of people.
Yeah, except the mayor sucks there. She's terrible.
Oh, the worst.
Oh, yeah. She is terrible. But that's the thing, too, is I did a little bit of a while back. I did a little research into my family's history, just like through my family. I didn't take one of those, you know, those, 23andMe things. I didn't do that, but
yeah.
I talked to my grandmother and my great-grandfather when he was still around, find out as much as I could about my family's background and what we're made up of. And basically, most Puerto Ricans are a mixture of the Spanish, the Africans, and the Taino, which are basically like the natives that lived here. But some are lucky, and mine is one of them, to also have some pirate in us. So I have a little bit of Captain Morgan in me, but I don't know if any of that is Jewish, so maybe I can't.
Well, I did one of those genetic tests, and it turned out I was part Jew, and it was pretty devastating, but I've grown to understand it. Like, I always knew I was up to something, but I didn't know why.
Yeah,
I seriously found out I was part Ashkenazi Jew, and then I found out that my grandmother converted to Catholicism when she married my grandfather, and I was like, "Whoa!" It really did explain a lot, like why I'm so good at scheming and plotting and saving.
Yeah,
it's in my blood. Saving.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I wonder, like, you know, if I know I'm part pirate, but that's not really a genetic lineage. So I wonder.
It is. It's true American, man. I'm part Clark from Lewis and Clark, and it's like pirates were risk takers. They were the ones that are like, "Let's go, let's fight these fucking social justice warriors."
That's right.
That's you.
Right. Are there any Jewish pirates, though? I mean,
Yeah, man. They're like, that's what the Jews are. Are you kidding me? They just take gold
and bury it someplace.
Yeah,
in their mother's mattress. All right, but anyway. So, I was just thinking. So what you do. I guess what would you, I know that your main thing is comedy, but you've been doing a lot of social commentary too. Have you looked at the kinds of things that, we MRAs tend to concern ourselves with, like where we kind of like, you know, are aligned? Do you know?
Yeah.
About
yeah. Cause I've done Stephen Molyneux's podcast a bunch of times. So I've seen, I realize there's a big difference between, MREs, and then there's another group. What was that other group of like? Like real intense.
The MGTOW guys.
Yeah, yeah. Because I think the MGTOW path is the wrong path, and I think you guys' path is a much better and healthier path. Like the whole swearing off of all women and all marriage, and just to live alone and all that stuff. It sounds a little almost monk-like to me, and I think part of being a man is fighting through. You know, I think a major men's rights issue right now is the courts when it comes to divorce and when it comes to child custody. I think it sways way too in the advantage of women.
Absolutely.
I think that especially in the black community, but now is reaching the white community, not that there is like race-based communities. I actually hate that I even fall myself for those Marxist word traps, but like encouraging single motherhood, mm-hmm. and you know, the financial incentives to be a single mom and to kind of kick the guy to the curb to get money from daddy government, I think is a men's rights issue. I think
absolutely.
Prisons are a men's rights issue. I think that you know, fortunately we no longer have the draft, but when that occurred, I mean, my body, my rights. I mean, how about having your body blown up in Vietnam? So mm-hmm. I think that all those things are, you know, I think I'm against circumcision personally.
Oh yeah. Oh good. That's the toughest one to talk about, because there are people who are, you know, they care a lot about men's issues, or they find out about it later, and if they've already circumcised their kid,
they get like this weird guilt thing sets in, and then they get angry a little bit.
I've seen people like get into fights because they call them int activists. These are the guys that you know, they're pushing against male genital mutilation, which is really what it is. And there's all this evidence that supports, you know, why this is not good for like a baby. There's even a documentary that just came out about it called American Circumcision. You should check it out. And there's video footage of these guys protesting circumcision, and like men that just get really angry and start fighting with them because it becomes revealed that they have circumcised their son, and they have to come to terms with it, because at the time, you know, we just treat it like, oh, this is just part of the procedure. Your baby's born. Now we're going to give him the snip, you know, and most people just kind of go along with it.
Well, that's like Marxism in a way, where it's like when it's revealed that through the Gulag Archipelago that the thing that they were pushing at the college campuses of communism killed 100 million people, many of which were women and children.
Yeah.
You can't come to terms with it. It's similar to like living in a house or being in a community that's faced a lot of pedophilia, where it's like the silence, like the guilt that you allowed it to happen is so unbelievable. That's why I'm not in favor of, you know, chastising parents that have had their children circumcised, because I feel it's similar to abortion, where I'm against abortion, but I'm not the type of person to like run up to a woman who's had an abortion and call her a murderer. I think it's more comparable to slavery, where it's like, if we were alive in the 1600s, there's a really high chance we would have owned slaves, because that was the societal norm. And to break out of the norm, you have to have a lot of understanding with people that have already done it, you know? And I think that, you know, you can live a fine life and be circumcised. You know, a lot of really good people have circumcised their children. In fact, like, if my wife hadn't married me, there's a good chance that both my sons would be circumcised. And she's a very, very good person. But it's something that we should be able to talk about without that really intense backlash. Because I just think that starting life with that event, and I think it also, like, your dick almost looks like scared the rest of your life, you know?
Yeah, right.
You know, because it's like, when I played football, I'm not circumcised, and no one even made fun of me for it. My nickname was Big Unit, I swear to God, because I had like a bit of a hammer on me. And it's like, no one even said anything. And it's like, there's all this like weird, I don't know, maybe I'm not like full blown anteater looking dick, because I don't. But at the same time, it's like, it's a healthier looking wiener, I think. And like, because there's so much, because my brother got circumcised when he was 16. My parents said it was up to us that we would decide.
Yeah.
And I was so excited about being called Big Unit, because my dick wasn't terrified from a trauma at birth, that I was like, no, I'm fucking digging this.
Yeah, and why wouldn't you get to call it the hose or something, because it actually resembles a hose, you know? I mean,
yeah, and it's also a lot of women don't even know. Like, there's probably been women that I've dated that don't even know I wasn't circumcised, because when you have a boner, it looks like just like a normal wiener.
Yeah.
And exactly. I hate that it's normal to like a brutalized dick, you know? It's like, it's almost like, what are we, like imams in Sweden? You know, it's like, why is it normal to just to brutalize male genitalia? That doesn't make any sense to me.
I know. Like, it's almost like, well, didn't we evolve this way? Like, isn't this, why are we doing this to stuff that this is the natural way it looks? And, you know, this is how we grew up, like, evolved this way on purpose. And there are people who make lots of excuses for it. Like, they say, oh, you know, it's cleaner. You know, you don't have to worry about the smegma.
That's blah, bullshit. Blah. No, just. That's such bullshit.
Yeah, when you're in the shower, put in a little bit of extra time and get in those pockets to dig out the lint. That's
it's
all you're doing.
It's literally nothing. That's like saying it's cleaner to be shorter because there's less area to wash.
Yeah, right.
Like, it's literally that. It's like these people, it's like, what, do they never wash their dick? I'm almost more freaked out by that. It's like, if you're going to wash your dick, it's the same amount of time if you're circumcised or uncircumcised.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, please handle it, you know? So, that's definitely an issue. Another one, some of the other ones that we do also bring up, this has been a lot in the news, speaking of David Hogg, which is the topic of school shootings and where that comes from, you know? And it's like, we medicate boys because they don't act like girls in school, like the way that the public school system has been overwhelmingly feminized. And it has been for a really long time. I know this.
Yeah.
And it's also feminist. So it's not just that it's women teachers. It's mainly that there's women teachers that have feminist ideology. You know, they talk about how this is like manifest in the universities, but it starts a lot earlier. There's all of these people. Well, not all. I would say a good number of people who become teachers and professors do so because what they really wanted to do didn't work out. And so because they learned all this, you know, Marxist shit in school. And so they say, well, I guess I'll just go back into the system and become an instructor myself. Otherwise, they become entertainers or journalists or, you know, they get involved with the media in some way. I think that's what happens. And you get boys that we take away recess. We take away all of the activities, you know, competition, dodgeball, whatever. and we put them on Ritalin. We put them on things. We diagnose ADHD at the drop of a hat, autism, Asperger's, whatever. And I know that these things are like real things. It affects some people. But I think that there is a quickness to try to medicate these kids. And when you compile that, and I'm talking mainly, this is what's happening mostly to boys. When you compile that with an ever-growing population of boys being raised without fathers, and this is like a big problem, especially in the Black community, it's something like 77% of kids are born out of wedlock. And that means, you know, so there's no divorce problem in the Black community because there's a marriage, nobody's getting married, right? And so yeah. Boys are joining gangs because they're looking for family, they don't have their dads around, and girls, they're also getting fucked by this because they end up hitting puberty earlier because there's no man around, and they become sexually active earlier, which means they're more likely to become pregnant at a teenage age.
Yeah.
And it just sort of like the cycle continues, you know?
Yeah, like my wife's biological father was, one of those dirty Mexican types. So he bailed early, so she hit puberty at 11. By the way, I know we just met, but I was just joking about the dirty Mexican types. I was trying to make your Puerto Rican ass laugh.
Yeah, I did.
But it really does. Like when your dad abandons you, you do go through puberty earlier, and that's really weird. That's really bad. And what you were just talking about, yeah, there's – like that's why we're homeschooling our boys, because there's a hatred of young men, young boys in school that like what they are, which is curious, exploring, you know, active, all that stuff is seen as toxic. It's that internalized self-hate, like all the bullshit they talk about how white people feel about Black people and how they have to internalize the racism, all that nonsense that doesn't literally exist at all. Maybe in some weird like corners of the super liberal United States, there's that level of racism, but not amongst my friends. But like the ultra left is the most racist by far. Like the people who say you can't say monkeying around because it's racist are inherently saying that Black people are monkeys. It's so twisted that I can't even begin to describe
absolutely.
It.
It's like that when they went after Roseanne Barr for comparing that one woman to Planet of the Apes, because they got it in their head that she was talking about that woman because that woman was supposedly part Black, even though she doesn't really look it. You know who I'm talking about? I can't remember.
Of course. Like that whole thing set me on tirades with people that I like. Like I've always liked Ben Shapiro, but when he like backed the firing of Roseanne, I was like going on like a 3-day tear of like how Ben Shapiro can go fuck himself. And even with Joe Rogan, it was a guy that I always looked up to. I was like, are you guys all racist? Because this doesn't make any sense at all to me. Like that lady, A, doesn't look Black. B, even if she's Black, the whole joke was about the haircut. C, like I call white people monkeys and myself monkeys all the time. The belief that that's a Black thing. Charles Darwin and all his eugenic buddies used to always depict the Irish as the ape that was subhuman, that couldn't climb out of the muck, and like the Descent of Man and The Origin of Species. Both those books have whole like sections about how even below the Black is the Irish, and so it's like this isn't a specific Black insult, and to think it is, I question the person's motives to a degree that makes it so I could almost not listen to some of their podcasts anymore, because I'm like, am I listening to a fucking eugenicist?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, they used to do that. George W. Bush was compared to chimpanzee all the time.
Everybody is.
Yeah, sure.
Curious George. Like, that was his whole thing. My son calls himself a monkey. He's 2.5. He's like, Dad, I'm monkey. And I'm like, yeah, you're my little monkey, man. And I unfortunately, I'm going to have to sit him down and say, listen, buddy. Since Blacks are actually the monkeys, you can't say that because it's racist. Because we're above them, so we got to keep it to ourselves.
Oh, man. It's a real treat, because I think the same things. By the way, Puerto Ricans are actually called shipwrecked Mexicans. So we are Mexicans.
That's
in
amazing.
A way. We're just shipwrecked. That's why.
I've always liked Puerto Ricans, because my town has no Mexicans, because it was way, way upstate New York, north, like with muck farms. So it'd be the only non-whites would be Puerto Ricans and Dominicans to work on the muck farms with us whites. And I always loved Puerto Ricans. I thought they were really good, good people.
Yeah. Yeah. My grandfather, he worked on the sugar cane. So, that you can thank us for that. But anyway, you know, we were just talking about race.
For the diabetes.
Yeah. For the diabetes. By the way, big problem in Puerto Rico, diabetes. So we were just talking about race and you got me thinking about something. I know this is a men's rights channel, right? And so we don't usually talk about race on it. We normally focus on gender. However, one of the things that I was thinking a lot about, maybe I'll bounce this off of you. Maybe you'll disagree, and that's cool. But I was thinking the word racist was made up by Leon Trotsky, right? Did you know that?
Yeah, of course, dude. I know everything about Slippery Trotsky.
Yeah.
And I just real quick, I just got a text from my wonderful Israeli sidekick to plug my Twitter at Owen Comedy, because she runs a Twitter so that I can't be kicked off. Oh, so at Owen Comedy. All right, about Trotsky.
I'll write that down. Go ahead.
I love Trotsky talk. So continue. I just wanted to let people know that you can find me on Twitter because she's listening right now. So it's at Owen Comedy because I am on tour and that'll get updates and whatnot. I always forget to advertise. I'm surprisingly bad at self promotion for being in the public. All right, go on.
It's all right. I just put you the at Owen Comedy. No capitalizations or underscores or anything.
I don't fucking
like that.
Know.
All right.
I don't know.
I just put it in. We'll see if you guys.
It's
find
run
it.
By the Jews. I don't know. I don't trust it.
Oh, thank you, Dolev. You put it in the. Put it in the chat there. By the way, guys, if you have any questions for Owen Benjamin or statements, send us a super chat and also hit that like button. It really helps us out, you know, and he's a testament to that because he just said so. So, all right. So I was thinking, if Trotsky made up the word racist and then that created, I think, the kind of environment in which things can be then perceived as racist, then that would mean that that would mean to me that people are more hurt by things that we call racist today than they did back in the times where things would have been seen as far worse. For example, the N-word, okay? And I was thinking about this. Would the N-word, is it more offensive in 2018 than it was in 1818?
Of course it is.
Yeah, right?
I mean, because it's not even close. Yeah,
no,
absolutely. It's a completely made-up thing. It's nothing.
Exactly.
It's literally nothing. Like, to say the N-word, I think necrophilia. I don't think nigger. It's like, necrophilia means you have sex with dead people. I think that that's a little more offensive than a pejorative that comes from the Portuguese word nigra. I mean, come on. This is like a joke. It's becoming a joke.
Exactly. But here's what I'm getting at. So we do that with a lot of things. Sexism. Well, like the left does this a lot. But I think that the thing is that I think is important to bear in mind is that many people on the right and most people in the center would also believe the same narrative. They would go along with, you know, things like racist terminology being far worse back in the day than it is today. For example, when in fact, really, the problem is not words, it's actions, like the stuff that was happening to people that we can criticize. But words don't mean anything, really. I mean,
right. I mean, we didn't need to fight the Civil War. We could have just had N-word plantations and then everything would have been fine.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's literally how you control people. I did a whole episode on magic spells.
Yeah.
And like how they are real. It's how, when you manipulate and you change and you control language, it's how you control people, you know? And so when you have like a Jew like Trotsky, no, I'm just kidding, Dolev. It's not all you people. It's just a small subgroup of real weirdos. But when you have some of these Bolshevik types that understand how to manipulate the dark arts of words, that's why it's called spelling. You put a spell on it. Aaron Spelling in Hollywood. Like these aren't like coincidences. And so when you start using language, like when you, it's right out of Genesis. It's like you give something a name and then it becomes real. You breathe life into it. So when you start like mansplaining or the patriarchy or all these nonsense words, heteronormative, toxic masculinity, like that isn't anything. I could just start the gaytriarchy, which is like the gay patriarchy, the gaytriarchy. It's like, is that now a thing? It is now, because I just named it.
Yeah, you just called it something. I've actually used that before. I've actually said gaytriarchy. I said it first, but I didn't copyright it, so.
Good for you. Why?
Well, we're going to have to race.
You and your whole race of pineapple monkeys. I call white people like glacier monkeys.
Yeah, we.
It's just like, you know, it's like you could just make anything silly.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Scandinavian Vikings. You could be like, oh, you mean those glacier niggers?
Yeah.
And it just immediately becomes like, but they're not black. It's like that. We all know that. Didn't you hear the Chris Rock joke? I love black people, but I hate niggas.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's one of my favorite jokes of all time because it's right out of Thomas Sowell's Black, Redneck, White, Liberal. It's like you have a group and you have a subgroup in which the group isn't too fired up about. And so you can label it anything you want. And I can turn on mainstream news and listen to them say white trash or redneck. But yet even you, this open-minded, like free speech, awesome voice still says N-word. But yet we don't say C-word for cancer. Or like a word for abandonment, you know, and then this like abandoning your son is infinitely worse than a pejorative from 1850 that you called a black dude that's now free. It'd be the equivalent of England calling us colonists. It's like we're not colonists, so that's not offensive. And it's not Voldemort. Like when you say a word, it doesn't take a black person's spirit away. Like they'll just laugh at you and be like, you stupid cracker, like, fuck you. It's like you don't get – like white people don't have this power. It's all a myth started by Trotsky before he got stabbed in the back of the head with an ice pick in Mexico because he crossed Stalin, the old man of steel who's 4'11".
I didn't know he was that short.
Well, maybe 5'1". I'm 6'7", so anything under 6 is all the same to me.
Yeah, it's all tattoo from Fantasy Island.
But you know what I'm saying though? It is complete bullshit. As soon as you see it, it's like obvious.
Oh, no, for sure. And here's the thing that I was – this is what I was getting at based on that language. We have other terms that also are meaningless, Islamophobe, homophobe, and so on, right? And one thing I was thinking about is if we were to acknowledge a disdain or even like a dislike or even an outright hatred of men – as a group, if we saw men as a group, and I'm not calling for collectivist, men to behave in a collectivist way.
Because that's what Trotsky actually wants us to do. But
I'm not calling for that. I think that it's not in men's nature to do that. I think that we just tend to be individualistic, you know.
Right.
We don't tend to depend on other people to like give us our validity for existing, right? But if we were able to see that a lot of the kind of language that people would consider to be racist or homophobic or Islamophobic or even transphobic, whatever, was mostly being directed at the men from those groups, then those ideas would almost disappear to non-existence. Like, for example, Black Lives Matter is run by feminists. That is a feminist organization. First, it doesn't care about blacks. Obviously.
Oh, God, no.
Right?
It hates blacks.
Right. But more than that, it cares even less for the black men in that group, which is strange because it uses the deaths of black men to perpetuate its own existence. Basically, black men get killed, you know, justly or unjustly. I know that I haven't seen any evidence to validate the existence of Black Lives Matter in its current form. Like, yes, there are problems with in the black community, but Black Lives Matter is not at all the solution to that problem.
Unarmed blacks were shot by cops a total number of 16 in 2016. Mm-hmm. You're more likely to die from lightning. Like, just in Chicago, 1,000 were shot just since Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not even close. And I just did Jesse Lee Peterson's show, who's a black guy from Jim Crow South. He was born on a plantation. And he literally said, racism doesn't exist. Like, it's a lie. He's like, this is, like, legitimate bullshit. And then, like, white fucking idiots will call him a white supremacist. Yeah. Jesse Lee Peterson, a guy from a plantation in Jim Crow South, is actually a white supremacist because some bitch from Brown says so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but for sure, it's bullshit. And what's happening, if you go to the Black Lives Matter website and you look and see what their like mission statement is, you see that it's feminist and an intersectional fourth wave feminist from the at its core. And so what they're really doing is they're taking suffering that males in the black community are going through, and I'm talking not in unarmed black men being shot by cops. I'm talking blacks killing other blacks, black boys not being raised by, not having a father in their life. Not, yeah. You know, their single moms are beating the crap out of them because their single mothers are more likely to abuse their kids, and black single moms are more likely to abuse. Like, Hispanic single moms are too, so I'm not even excluding myself. I was beaten by my mother when I was little, right? And so like the all of these things are issues, but they're not specifically black issues. They are male issues that are affecting the black community more. And I think that's by design. The black community is the canary in the coal mine when it comes to what are the potential outcomes if we ignore the problems that men and boys face. And I mean,
oh yeah, yeah, and it's all money. It's all welfare state. So who gets most of the money? It's black females. So they're now worshipped, and who gets most tax revenue is paid by white males. So you demonize the white male, and then you boost the black female into like this Jesus type character so that she can do no wrong, because all the money stolen from the white males given to her is just, it has to be justified. So you're now going to go back in time to 1850 when there's open slave markets right now in the world, right now, if people actually gave a shit, but they don't give a shit. And so what's sacrificed, because I'm actually not a racist. Like, I don't see any reason why the black community shouldn't thrive like the white community. So it's like, you see why the sacrifice is the black child. So you just, Johnson and his utopian bullshit destroyed the black family. Thomas Sowell was quoted as saying, the welfare state did what slavery could never do, and that's destroy the black family. And so out of that comes these black children without a male role model, because the men are now either in prison or just gone because of self-hatred or because of just this whole like just this disrespect of males in the community. Mm-hmm. And so then you start a vicious cycle that literally will not end until it's just destroyed, until the state sucks up everybody's money. And they don't care at all about black people. I know people in Black Lives Matter. A lot of them come from like really wealthy families, and they're just these lost white idiots that are being manipulated by pretty evil forces. And so you're so right that it really does boil down to male female, because there really is differences between men and women, and they're taking that and they're putting it on race, which there really isn't differences. And so when you do that, it's a disaster.
Yeah. I would say the same is true of Islam too. Now, not the ruling class, but they take the men who are like, okay, do you know this conversation that's been going on around incels, right? Because there was that one guy, Alec Manassian, he ran over some people in Toronto, and it was revealed that he was an incel. So they figured that the motivation for him to do that had to do with him being an incel, which there's no evidence for, but you know, that's sort of like what's being discussed. You know about the incident with Alec Manassian?
Yeah, he's probably just really horny.
Yeah, probably. Or I mean, I think he just probably had some real problems.
Just a crazy person.
Yeah, like, just suicidal.
Think about if I committed a mass murder, think about how many groups you could pin me in, depending on what. You could say entertainers, men, tall people, blue-eyed people, people with four dogs, people who raise chickens, people with a I do have to go
you raise
in
2 minutes, chickens?
But finish your point. Sorry, buddy.
Oh, you raise chickens? Because that's probably it. No, but my
that's
the
what
thing
you really
is,
see. You got to have a rooster to keep those bitches in line.
The thing is with Alec Manassian, with incels, in Islam, they take the men that, you know, they can't find, they're incel men that they turn into suicide bombers. They're basically one of our ultimate points we try to make that's very difficult is that Islam is always painted as, you know, being especially bad for women, but we believe that it's bad for both men and women.
Of course. You got one fat Jabba the Hutt sheik with 1,000 wives.
Yeah.
And then you have 999 people that could have just had a family and tried real hard to like make somebody happy and have kids and work. Yeah. And instead they have absolutely nothing to do with their life except for porn and video games. Yep. So why not end their life in a blitzkrieg of nihilism?
Yeah.
I do have to go, buddy, but this has been insanely enjoyable. Like, I want to do this more often.
Can we do it again then? I'll try to have all of the technical issues figured out.
Yeah, dude, I'll do this whenever you want. You're awesome to chat with.
Oh, thanks, man.
I'm always hard to get on the first time, but then once I know someone's cool, I'm totally available.
Awesome. Well, the other thing I will say is that I met Steven Crowder once when he came to Illinois. He went to the Illinois College for his Change My Mind about socialism. And yeah. I got to meet him there. And, you know, I was just saying that, you know, he's a really genuinely cool dude. And I know that
you
share
that sentiment.
One of my
favorite people on the planet. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, Owen, thanks so much for coming on for however brief it was. I'll stay in touch with you on Skype and we'll maybe do something else some other time.
I love it. Yeah, and I would have put aside more time, but it's the radio part of your name made me think it was like an 8-minute interview because that's what radio usually is. I didn't know you're so long form. So next time I'll definitely put aside more time.
Yeah, we do a YouTube channel. It's Fireside Chat. So, but yeah,
I love it.
It'll be cool. I'll talk to you very soon. Thanks, man.
All right, you're the best. Peace.
All right. Okay. Well, Owen Benjamin is gone. I'm gonna go ahead and wrap this up. I hope you guys had fun. We were running into lots of technical problems with the camera. That's why there's a photo here. I don't know what that was about. Skype is such crap. Can I just say that? Skype is such shit right now because Microsoft bought it and they fucked it up. And there's like two different like types. Like there's like the desktop version and then there's like the actual app. It's such trash. So Browning Bear says hop over to Owen's stream. So Owen's going to be streaming on his channel. It's youtube.com/user/ Owen Benjamin Comedy. Go check him out. I put it in the low bar. Thanks again, my dudes. TeamSpeak, dude. I got to go with whatever the guest needs to use. Owen uses Skype, so I tried to make it work with him. What? Next time, make him cover the webcam with the hand, light it with a flashlight, and cover it again. That reviews almost all cams when they're in too dark mode. I don't know what the too dark thing is. It was great still. I hope you guys had fun. I wish we could have talked more, but, you know, he had to go do his thing. It's cool. We'll have him back on. I think he likes me. All right. Well, I'll talk to you guys very soon. Thanks. Have a good one.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.